We're doing it nightly, 6 to 8 o'clock right here. Now, friends, as you know, we don't have that many guests on this program. I don't like to place the success of this show in the hands of our guests. But every once in a while, we have somebody that I really want to talk to, or somebody that can inform us on a different level. And so we bring them on the program. One of those guys is a gentleman I've never spoken to, but I know a lot about him. I've read a lot of his work. He's from an organization called Freedom 21. You talk about the liberal belly of the beast. He's down in Santa Cruz, the center for so many leftist ideologies in this day and age. And we're going to talk about something called sustainable development and a program that the UN put together called Agenda 21. It was unveiled in 1992 at the Rio Summit, the Rio Earth Summit. More than 178 nations adopted this Agenda 21. Nancy Pelosi was a big champion of this Agenda 21. And it just sucks and stinks to high heaven. So let's go ahead right now and bring in Michael Shaw. Michael, it's just a pleasure to have you on with me this evening on KSFO.
Well, it's my pleasure, Brian. Thank you.
Well, we have a lot of friends in common, by the way, down in Santa Cruz. I have spent a lot of time down there and wouldn't rule out moving back to Santa Cruz County someday, only because my wife's family's from there. So just a pleasure to speak with you. Let's get to the genesis of this entire sustainable development. Why don't you define for us first the term sustainable development, because it's bantered about so much. I don't think most people even know what it means, Michael.
Well, sustainable development is one of those coy terms that's made to be warm and fuzzy. You know, who could be against something that's sustainable? Are you for something unsustainable? It's a marketing term, and it's just one of the global politicalist dynamics that they think they can't lose with. And you can go any county, any state in this country, and you'll find sustainable development being advanced as the way to reorder our society. I mean, that basically is what it's about. It's a change in how we live. It's a change in how we're being educated. It's a change, and it's really intended to be a change in the cause of change in the nature of human beings. And of course, that's the same old utopian line that we hear again and again. But this time, it's being sold effectively.
That's sold effectively, and it's being sold in a way that folks don't realize. This is an agenda, this is an ideology, this is a way to live that's going to be forced on people. People won't have a choice in this. It doesn't have anything to do with a free market. It has to do with forcing things upon people, correct?
Well, yes. I mean, they use the term free market. For instance, you've got the free trade provisions that are being created. That is part of sustainable development. It's not free at all. It is managed trade in order to break down national sovereignty. The World Trade Organization, which manages these free trade organizations, replaces America when it comes to establishing our own trade policies. And that's a very important step in creating this new world order. That is what Agenda 21 is all about.
Let's go back to the Rio Earth Summit 1992.
You mean the place where Al Gore met Teresa Hines?
Yes, exactly. The place where Al Gore was really one of the featured speakers and the man of the hour. And Agenda 21 was unveiled in 1992. Tell us about Agenda 21 and how it was delivered to the people of planet Earth.
Well, Agenda 21 is the plan to remake all human activity, to control all human activity, managed on a global basis. The really threatening part about it, from an American perspective, is that it is designed to destroy free enterprise, designed to destroy equal justice and replace it with what's called social justice. And they wrap that communist and fascist package in the soft terminology of the environmental movement.
Yes, I'm reading a quote here, and again, you guys have probably some of the best information out there, your organization, Freedom 21, and you can go to their website, friends, freedom21.org.
No. Our website is freedom21santacruz.net.
Okay.
Or you can do it f21sc.net.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Yes. We'll link that on our KSFO website. But Nancy Pelosi, for example. This is 1993. Representative Nancy Pelosi from here in San Francisco urging President Clinton and the Congress to, quote, assume a strong leadership role in implementing the decisions made at the Earth Summit by developing a national strategy to implement Agenda 21.
Yeah.
Now, this was Nancy Pelosi. This is a mainstream Democrat congresswoman back in 93 urging Congress and the President, Agenda 21, it's a good thing, let's go for it. That's chilling once you know what Agenda 21 is all about.
Well, certainly, but I'll tell you, Brian, it's more chilling when you come to realize that it's not just Nancy Pelosi and left-wing Democrats. It is the neocons that are also behind it. It was President George H. Bush who signed the Agenda 21 protocols and brought it back to the United States as soft law policy.
Just to really skew people, you also have a group of quote-unquote evangelical pastors who recently signed on to this as well by decrying man-made global warming and essentially getting in bed with these same people.
Well, Agenda 21 has been laid out for decades. This didn't just dawn in 1992. This is decades of work, Fabian socialist inspired, that goes back to the beginning of the century. It includes people like John Dewey in its history, you know, the father of American public education. It includes all kinds of people, all kinds of presidents, Democrat and Republican, over the decades, all moving gradually toward this utopian idea of a world government where all people can be controlled. And of course, what's scary about that now, as opposed to, you know, Soviet USSR communism, is that today the technology exists that they can control us. They can monitor us, they can watch us, and they can assure themselves that if we're not compliant, we'll be simply deemed unsustainable. And what happens to people who are unsustainable is yet to be seen. But the goal at the core of Sustainable Development Agenda 21 is a massive reduction in human population.
There's no question that the zero population people are real, and they're out there, and they're a part of us. Could we please focus just for a moment on how they want to use the environmental movement to put forward this ideology?
Well, I'll give you some examples. In the San Francisco Bay Area, in the next ballot, there's a plan to in Santa Clara County to make rural areas off limits for any development or, you know, ultimately any human activity.
Yes. Now, I want you to stop there, because that's very interesting. With all of these groups that are buying up all of this open space like nobody's business, like the Mid-Peninsula Regional Open Space District,
yes,
they will actually take that land and put it off limits to human beings.
Yes.
You're right.
Well, the goal out of Agenda 21, there's basically three programs under Agenda 21.
Okay.
One is a land use program, and of course that means the elimination of private property. You know, the United Nations in 1976, at their Habitat One conference, said, quote, private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore contributes to social injustice. Public control of land use is therefore indispensable. We're moving very rapidly right now to a global corporate socialist dynamic where organizations like the Nature Conservancy, by the way, the largest landowner in the world,
I didn't realize that,
is gobbling up everything. And the organization you talked about, Mid-Peninsula, you know, this new proposal in Santa Clara County would take up four times as much land as Mid-Peninsula has gobbled up over the last 20 years in one fell swoop by the voters. We are voting ourselves right out of our heritage of private property, individual liberty, and equal justice.
And, you know, along with that, and maybe this will get the attention of some people that live in Santa Clara County and the peninsula, that's only going to cause housing prices to go up.
Well, not only that, the answer from the sustainable developers is, oh, well, then we'll build the affordable housing. So let me talk about affordable housing.
Please do, yes.
Affordable housing is a another warm and fuzzy term, just like sustainable development, that covers the reality of what's really happening underneath. Affordable housing is subsidized housing. Here in Santa Cruz, the first 3,000 affordable housing units being built, which then go to the guidance of the county housing authority. They pick the people who live there, and they determine how much they pay. But the builders of these affordable housing projects, public-private partners, get funded. In Santa Cruz, the federal government has committed $300 million to the first 3,000 government housing units to be built here along the coastline rail line. Now, that's happening all over the country, and that's why our federal budget is imploding. Because in order to house the people that are being moved off the rural lands, these government housing units are being built. Now, when you buy an affordable housing unit, you don't own it. Three things happen. One is the government controls what you can sell it for, who you can sell it to, and the government establishes all the rules while you live there. For instance, you can expect that affordable housing units will have what's called water masters. When they create sufficient shortage under the new environmental rules of water, the water master will tell the tenant how much water they can use.
I'm glad Mike, I'm glad you're talking about this, because, folks, you got to listen to this. This is the truth. This is where we're going.
This is where we're going, and we're heading headlong, eagerly voting by ballot box. You know, the same concept that I'm talking about in Santa Cruz County. In the year 2000, Alameda County did it. It was called Measure D. And San Mateo County did it, a decade or more ago, called Measure A. And so everyone's being forced into these high-rise, stack 'em and pack 'em, with the businesses on the bottom. You're supposed to be able to walk to your job, walk to buy your groceries. In the morning, you drop your kids off at the government child care centers. All of this part of sustainable development.
Yeah, there are these little Stepford Wife communities that are popping up all over the United States, and it's not reality. I'm looking at a quote here from Maurice Strong, former Secretary General, UN Conference on Environment and Development, 1992, one of the most dangerous men in the world at the time. He said this, and this is concerning this redistribution of wealth, which is what you're talking about, and this fascist creation of public-private partnerships. He said, current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class involving high meat intake, the use of fossil fuels, appliances, home and work air conditioning, and suburban housing are not sustainable.
Now, the listeners ought to hear that, suburban housing. Right now, they're driving people off rural lands, namely ranchers, and they're making farmers life real difficult for farmers. But the goal is to come in after single-family homes. The city of San Jose has already declared one-third of the single-family homes to be blighted. Now, that opens the door, especially under the Kelo decision, opens the door for government to come in, take your home, and replace it with these high-rise stack-em-pack-em houses.
Sure. They'll do the stack-em and pack-em. They'll put you in a little combine where they can essentially make you feel as if you're safe, secure, and living the American dream, but in fact, they're usurping you of all of that.
Well, and giving you no opportunity. When they talk about traffic congestion, we need to spread out if we want to have less traffic congestion. You know, you look across the American landscape, and only 2-4% of our landscape is developed. The rest of it, if you fly over America, is dark when you fly over it, and they tell us we're running out of space. That's baloney.
You're right. Now, let's also talk about this whole idea of justice and equity, because this is a big part of the UN Agenda's 21 plan.
Well, it is. You know, people today talk all the time about social justice. You know, you can go to the Bay Area law schools, and what they teach is social justice. Well, what is social justice? In essence, you know, it's imported from offshore, I'll tell you that, firstly. But social justice is the law when you formulate it to obtain government social objectives at the expense of individual liberty. And what we're replacing is the idea of equal justice. And, you know, for anybody who's probably over 50, they know that the term equal justice is what we fought the Revolutionary War for. The Declaration talks about equal justice. And that's the idea that supports true diversity. It's a respect for the independence and the unalienable rights of the individual, and genuine tolerance for individuality. Equal justice puts a checkmate on mob rule. But when you get to, I think it's being called Measure A for Santa Clara County, that's mob rule to take away the land of the farmers and the ranchers who've been there for a long time, and it takes away the opportunity that young people otherwise might have to really have the American dream, to live out where they want to live.
And yet they'll tell you, well, no, this is democracy. Look, people go to the polls, they're voting on this. They weren't coerced to vote for Measure A. This is true democracy and therefore true justice. That's what they'd say, right, Mike?
Well, they might say that, but, let's talk. I mean, Plato said that democracy always leads to dictatorship. Gorbachev says democracy, the more of it we have, the more socialism we can get, okay? And James Madison said, democracy is the most vile form of government. It is as short-lived as it is violent in its death. So we need to be careful. America isn't a democracy. It's a republic that is a democratic republic. In other words, we elect our leaders who have limited powers. It doesn't mean we can vote away our neighbor's property.
So concerning this stack and pack of housing, which is becoming very, very popular throughout the United States, the whole idea is that the government now is going to be dictating and planning what your needs are, what your wants are, and what your desires are, and you're going to be conformed to their views, essentially. This is the first step, in my opinion.
Yes, and it is the elimination of the middle class in the process. You know, now people say, the UN doesn't run the United States. And my answer is, when they've got control of the Democrat and control of the Republican Party at their cores, it does. Because it was Bush, Clinton, Bush who were implementing Agenda 21. It doesn't matter who's in Congress, it doesn't matter who's in the White House, the public doesn't get the information and the program continues.
People
know something's wrong, and this is what it is.
I appreciate this president for not signing Kyoto, but how much of a difference has that made? Or better yet, better question, when Kyoto is finally signed, will that put this whole Agenda 21 program into warp speed?
Well, it's in warp speed. And as for Kyoto, it's Schwarzenegger who says we will reduce our greenhouse gases by 80% over some period of time.
Right.
And he's beginning it already, And also, and I'll talk about Schwarzenegger for a second. Also, what makes the world government possible is the elimination of political boundaries. It's been known as a political axiom for, millenniums, that if you can blur the boundaries and raid the treasury, you can gather up all the things of all the people. So it is this process of reinvention of government. Now, it's an Al Gore term. We're going to reinvent government. I thought, what a silly boy to say such a thing when he did that about 10 years ago. But in fact, that's what's happening.
He was diabolically clever when he said it. Now, let's jump from there and use that as a segue to talk about reinventing our youth through the education program in America. And how does that tie into sustainable development and Agenda 21?
Well, the state of California, for instance, has said that every class must have an environmental element attached to it.
Wow.
And and that's happening. So kids, if they're in a math class, the dynamic has to be put in the context, say, of greenhouse gases and global warming. So it's an indoctrination program that leads us to the New World Order. It's a federalized program, a national curriculum that is being imposed through No Child Left Behind and its predecessor bills like Workforce Reinvestment Act. Now, that's an education bill. Workforce Reinvestment Act. Our educational system has gone from getting the facts and the information that children need to live a productive, healthy, and happy life to attitudes, values, and beliefs. We don't test children anymore. We assess them.
Right.
Their attitudes, values, and beliefs.
We don't test. We assess. Mike, I want to, one more time, I want to give folks an opportunity to check out your website. So, again, that website is?
Freedom 21, exposing Agenda 21, freedom21santacruz.net.
freedom21santacruz.net. We will link that up at ksfo.com. And I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us tonight on KSFO, Mike Shaw. We'll have you back again. This is just riveting stuff.
Well, I'll look forward to that. And, you know, it makes you a hero to begin one of the people to get this information out.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much. That's Mike Shaw here on Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Again, it's freedom21santacruz.net. 25 before 8, Sussman Show, KSFO.